I got a question as we start here. How many of you came in here this morning with a need of hope? Like there's something, there's a situation in your life, or there's a relationship, or something personal going on where you're saying, man, I can use a touch of hope from God. Okay. I think that's about all of us. So, which is really, really good because we're the people of hope. But this hope thing, it is so vital. And so the good news is that we started a sermon series last week called Hope is Here. And that's what we want to talk about for the next 4 weeks is hope is here. And we started off with this understanding, and we just kind of illustrated it right now, that we all need hope. We all need hope. I don't know how you go forward without hope. I mean, there's situations in my life, and maybe you've been there where you thought, I don't know how people that do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, how do they go forward in this situation? And the other thing we looked at is that we are to be a people that embody hope. People ought to look at our lives and go, that's really weird because there's a lot of stuff going on in your life. Why are you still hopeful? Can you tell me about that? And then with gentleness, we should share with them about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And every time as we gather and I see people come in, that actually gives me hope as you're embodying hope. And I know you're going through battles and struggles. And I say that they're hanging on to Jesus. And that together, as we come together, that gives us hope. There's a story about a man who went to a Little League baseball game. And my guess in this story, this must be his first Little League baseball game by the way the story goes. So how many of you had kids and you brought them through Little League and all those different things? And man, I just remember as an adult going, this doesn't look as fun as I thought my parents were having when I was playing. But so in this story, this man's watching this game, and it's the first inning, and the score is 16-0. And so the man walks over to the dugout to the losing team, and he asks this one little boy. He asks him if he's discouraged about the score. Had he lost hope? And the little boy looks at him, and he's puzzled, and he's like, "Why would I be discouraged? We haven't even gotten to bat yet. There's always hope." You know? And I'm like, yeah, I'd tell that, hang on, this is going to get crazier than you thought. And you know, the church, we are at our best. The church throughout history has been at its best when it has the audacity to have hope in the face of trouble, right? Not necessarily in the good times. That's cool to have hope in the good times, celebrate those. But in the midst of trouble, the church has audacity to hope. And this hope, the hope that we have isn't based on our political, it's not based on our social or our financial power. The world can give you those kinds of things. The hope that we have, it stems from the victory that Jesus Christ won at the cross. We got to remember that. That's where our hope is found. Our hope is found in Jesus, right? We even sing songs about that, right? My hope is found in nothing less. Go ahead, you guys sing it. It's found in Jesus, right? In Him and His righteousness. And think about Jesus on the cross. That's got to be like the, what you have to say, like, no matter how your life went, that's got to be like the darkest moment right there, right? You're hanging on the cross. You've been beaten to death nearly. And as He's hanging there, He knows it is far from over, right? The tomb, even death itself, was not the end, because Jesus defeated death and He came back to life. The resurrection tells us something. The resurrection tells us something. Think of any situation you are facing right now. Evil does not have the final say. God does, right? God has the final say in every situation. And the resurrection declares that loudly. And with this is our backdrop. Think about Jesus. He defeats sin. He defeats death. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. He's interceding on your behalf. You ever know that? If you say, let's have a prayer meeting, you are actually entering a prayer meeting. Because Jesus right now is interceding on your behalf. And you're joining in on that prayer reason. And so there's that prayer meeting. And so there's a reason that we have hope. But you know what we got to do? We got to be like that little boy. We got to be like, you know, Jesus talks about that, be like a child. We got to be like that little boy in the little league game where the guy was focused in on the problem. And the kid's like, I already know the answer. We're going to come up and bat. We're going to outscore these guys. And how many times do we focus on what's wrong than rather what's the solution? A friend of mine was telling me about somebody that up north, they were driving, and they, you know, that fun moment where you start to fishtail on those roads. Oh, that's so fun. I thought I bought the farm at least once. But he was talking about this person that hit a pole, and the whole thought process was, you know, you look and there's like all this open area, and there's one dangerous spot, and where do we tend to focus? Hey, you're going to hit what you aim at, right? You're going to hit what you focus at. And so we got to focus on the solution. What is the solution? Where is our hope? What do we look at? Hebrews tells us this. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And we're going to jump around a little bit. So if you're looking ahead, we're going to jump into Matthew after this. But Hebrews chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2, and the Bible reads this way. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings to us so closely. So we got stuff in our life that weighs us down, right? And you go, okay, I gotta lighten this load. Okay, I got this sin in my life. I need to confess that. I need to move forward. There's added things on my life that I don't need. And it says, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. In other words, God has a plan for your life. He's working through that. And here's how we do this. Looking to Jesus. All right? Here's the focus. We gotta focus in. Aim small, miss small, right? Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. I love that word, the perfecter of our faith. I'm still waiting on that, but he's the perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the same, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. That's a good place for Jesus to be, at the right hand of the throne of God. He's interceding on your behalf right now. Man, I'm feeling the hope right now. But we need to look to Jesus. We got to do that. And you know, every time I'm standing up here, I'm like sitting there and I'm talking to myself going, Don, you got to look to Jesus. Got to look to Jesus, people. Because here's what happens. My worries, your worries, my doubts and fears, they have a way of obstructing the life that God has for us. You know what those things will do? They can paralyze you, right? You ever been there? You're paralyzed by your worries, your doubts, your fears. Or the other thing they can do is they're going to tell you there is something to run from. Right? And I'm not saying we don't need to have some kind of caution and wisdom in our lives, all right? But worries, doubts, and fears are always going to tell you there's something to run from. And hope's going to tell you something different. Hope says there is something to run to, right? Hope says there's something to run to. There may be a very serious danger there. But we got to focus on Jesus. There's something to run to, and that is Jesus. Think about that as you think of the Gospels. And you watch the actions of Jesus. He's always offering hope to people around him. I mean, whether it's a crippling disease, and it's oppressive government, it's physical or spiritual hunger and some kind of evil attack. You know what Jesus does? He meets people right where they are. And he meets us right where they are. And you've probably heard me say this maybe more times than you care. I don't know. You can let me know afterwards that Jesus will always meet you right where you are, but he doesn't want to keep you right where you are. All right? Jesus wants to do something in our lives. He wants to transform us. Point one. Those of you who like three-point outlines, here it is, 3 points. Might not give it to you next week, but life is hard, all right? Fair enough, right? Life is hard. Huh? Some of you aren't saying yes. You know, maybe you're that boat that hasn't been out on the water. Life is hard, right? There's times where you and I, we need this reminder that there's hope. You know, we need to encourage each other. Sometimes I just need to hear the words I already know, all right? I've had my wife do that, you know, sometimes where she basically tells me back what I preached. We need that reminder that there's hope. Because life circumstances, they have this way of slowly leaving us hopeless. And you know what's one of the great thieves of hope? Exhaustion. When we get tired, you know, when we get to that place and we go, well, I've tried that. I've tried this and I've done this and I don't see anything changing. You know, God's pretty patient. Fact is, I'm still breathing. God is patient, and life has a way. It's true. I mean, life has a way of leaving us weary, leaving us tired, as worn out. I imagine that there's probably a room full of people that say, yeah, yep. I get that. You know, I'm tired. I'm waiting on that diagnosis. I'm paying off these bills. I don't know how I'm going to pay off these bills. You know, my marriage. I don't know what's going to happen with my marriage. I don't know what's happening. You know, with the world. I'm trying to grow spiritually in the midst of all this chaos. And man, I need help, God. I need hope here. And I think sometimes in our exhaustion, and I've been thinking about this a lot in the last year of what am I doing that wears me down? Because it's in my exhaustion where I begin to lose hope. And now, if you're weary and tired, I do have good news, because Jesus goes, okay, you're in a place where I can work with you. Jesus he's aware of our tendency to carry heavy burdens. You ever done that where you're carrying heavy burdens and you're going, and you realize, like, this isn't even a burden I need to carry. Or sometimes you go, this isn't even a burden I can carry. You know, when I'm like, okay, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen the next day? What's going to happen? You know how much control I have over that? I don't, maybe here. And so I'm carrying these heavy burdens. And listen to what Jesus says. Probably a familiar passage to many of you. Matthew 11, starting at verse 28. Matthew 11, verse 28. The one who is resurrected, the one who is seated at the right hand of the Father. This is what he said. He said, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. Anybody there? You labor, you're heavy laden? Okay, good. Here's what he wants to give to you. He says, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Man, I read that and I'm like, yes, Jesus, that's what I want. You read me like a book. I want this. And Jesus is doing a couple things in this passage. Jesus is going, I get it. Life is hard. I understand that. And he says, I also understand that sometimes we live without margin in our lives. Not the stuff you eat, but you know, like margins on the paper. There's no room for anything else. You know, sometimes it's kind of like if you go to a buffet and you don't ask, what do I need? You ask what I want, and you put that all on, And there's no room for what you actually need, what your body's craving. I think sometimes we do that in our lives. And we don't have room for Jesus. We don't have room for him to work in our lives. On top of that, sometimes we're hard on ourselves. Anybody like that? I mean, you could just put, okay, yeah. Yeah, like sometimes we're more judgmental about ourselves than we are other people, right? You know, how many times you're like, oh, you dummy. Which really helps you, right? And we work hard to keep up with others. You know, hey, you notice the new neighbor's yard's looking nicer than ours? No, I didn't. And we get weary. So let's take this statement. Let's put it into context, right? So Jesus is originally, he's talking to a group of people that felt crushed. They felt overwhelmed. And it's not just the normal or everyday things of life. That's all there. We all deal with the normal everyday pressures of life. But in this context, there's this cultural pressure. There's this cultural pressure that was brought on by the yoke of their religious leaders. Isn't that great? Like the religious leaders who are supposed to bring you closer to God put this additional yoke on them, and you get to this place, and you go, okay, my life's already hard. And I'm not sure that I'm ever going to get out of this situation or this is ever going to get better. And now I realize that I don't even please God. My whole life isn't pleasing to God. That's a place to get stuck, right? You know, where you look and go, it doesn't matter what I do. I could go this way, it's going to be wrong. I could go this way, it's going to be wrong. All right, Jesus, help us out. Because I just got everybody stuck here. Well, let's dive a little bit deeper into this context. Do you know that Jesus isn't the first person to ever say these words or to talk about a rest for our souls? In fact, God the Father spoke these same words to the prophet Jeremiah centuries before. Fascinating. You guys are going to love this passage. Or not. Jeremiah 6:16. Here's what God the Father said through the prophet Jeremiah, again, like 500 years before Jesus walked the earth. Jeremiah 6:16 says, "Thus says the Lord, stand by the roads," your translation may say crossroads, "and look and ask for the ancient paths where the good way is and walk in it and find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it." Okay. Now, Jesus isn't ignorant of this passage. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say Jesus knew exactly about this passage and really wanted to point to something in this passage when he spoke. So in Jeremiah's day, the people, they were crushed. They were crushed by their own idolatry, by poor spiritual leadership, and then there's this looming invasion that's about to take place brought on by the first two problems, idolatry within the nation and poor spiritual leadership. So in that context, here's what God comes to the people through the prophet Jeremiah, and he says, you're at the crossroad, right? And when you come to a crossroad, as you're going down the road, what happens at every crossroad? You have a choice, right? You have a choice. Do I continue down this road, or do I turn here? And God is saying to the people in Jeremiah's day, he's saying, you're at a crossroad, and you have a choice. And I'm going to give you an invitation. I'm going to invite you to choose the ancient paths. Now, for you church people, don't confuse ancient paths with the way we used to do things. All right. Don't confuse that with the good old days. God never does that. God never says, hey, go back to the good old days. All right. He never does that. God is more likely to say, and he does, I'm going to do a new thing through my people. Okay. So what is it that are the ancient paths? Think of it this way. The ancient paths are what God has already revealed to us. And so he's saying, what you know to be true, what I have revealed, He says, walk in that. Walk in what you know to be true. And sometimes that's what we got to do, right? Because sometimes we're at that crossroad and we're like, I'm blind. I don't know what's going to happen if I go this way, and I don't know what's going to happen this way, and I don't know what's going to happen a half mile down the road. And God says, walk in what you know to be true. Right now, this moment, because that's what I have right now. I have this moment, and in this moment, I can walk in what I know to be true. Okay, got all that? You guys are firing on all cylinders. You're with me. Let's put that back into Matthew's context. So Jesus picks up on this passage. He uses the same phrase, find rest for your souls. But he does something that I think is substantial. He applies it to himself. He's not saying, you know, walk in this. He's saying, it's me. Jesus, so the one who the Gospels say is from old, who, by the way, is the Ancient of Days, kind of weird coincidence here. He says that rest that you're looking, anybody here looking for rest or peace? Okay, everybody, awesome. He says, that is found in me. It is found in Jesus. And we need to remind ourselves over and over again, Jesus isn't just a truth. He isn't just a way of life over and against other ways and other truths. Jesus proclaims, he says, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. You want to come to my Father? You come through me. And so Christianity isn't just me changing ideas. And there are lots of things where I go, wow, I totally had that wrong. You know, and even throughout the day, it's like, I have that wrong. But it's more than changing ideas. Christianity is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. You remove Jesus from Christianity and it all collapses. It is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our strength. He is the one who guides us. He's the one who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So whatever trial you're in, Jesus is in there with you. He's the fourth person in the fire, okay? So let me go back to what my notes actually say. So Jesus knows the idols of my heart. By the way, he knows the idols of your heart. He knows the trials. He knows the pressures of this world. And you know what he knows about those things? He knows that they're going to wear us down. They're going to wear us down. And so that's the context. And in that context, here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, come to me. All right? And any of you that got trials, any of you got something, some idol that you're going, okay, I need to get rid of this. Jesus says, come to me. It's an open invitation. Jesus offers us a solution. He says, I want to make an exchange here. You know, and these are like great exchanges. You know, like on those game shows where they're like, do you want door number one, door number two, or do you want door number Jesus? Take Jesus. This is the greatest exchange, right? He takes your sin. He takes your failures. He takes everything that we worry about. He says, give that to me. And I'm going to exchange. I'm going to give you my yoke. And for you non-farmers, a yoke is a wooden harness that a farmer would attach to livestock to plow a field or to pull a cart. And the yoke, you know what the yoke does? It keeps the livestock safe. Keeps it safe. And also helps the animal submit. Here's the reality. I've got some flesh that doesn't want to submit. And I need to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, fill me. Allow your Holy Spirit to live in me. And so some of the people that were hearing Jesus' message, they were submitting to a way of life that was law-based. It was a hard way. It was hard to live up because it's kind of like I feel bad for high jumpers at track meets. Because like you clear a height, and after they clap for you, you know what they do? They move it up. They just keep moving it up. Like I like throwing the disc because I throw it far, and like if I throw it far enough on my first throw, I'm like, it's over. I just won. You know, but the high jumper, he could jump this much higher over, They're like, they're still going to move it up. It's like you're never good enough, right? And that's what religion will tell you. Religion will tell you that you are never good enough. You will not live up. And this legalistic, it's a performance-based, it's driven by my need to succeed. Like, I become the center in that. Now, the yoke that Jesus is offering is much different. The yoke that he's offering is one of grace. It's one of mercy. It's one of compassion and of love. And actually, this yoke allows you to do it allows you to do what you actually want to do in Christ. The one yoke causes people to become weary. The other yoke causes people to find peace. And so Jesus says, come to me, remove whatever yoke that you have around your neck, and put my yoke on. You know why? He says, because my yoke is light, and it will give you rest. Point two, this isn't really a point. It's more of a question. Is your yoke crushing or life-giving? I want you to think about that. Whatever you're carrying right now, is it crushing or is it life-giving? Jesus offers hope for the weary by reminding us, and you need to hear this, our value is not found in how well we hold up or how we put it together or what do we do when things get tough or how we compare to the people around us. I mean, Jesus isn't doing that. He's like, well, you know, this one's a little bit better than that one. And, you know, this one, well, don't even get me started on this one over here. And Jesus doesn't do that. Our value comes because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And Jesus himself has redeemed us. Our value, your value is found in him and the grace that he gives you. And we got to understand who we are in Christ. If we don't understand that, we are going to wear ourselves down. And so if today you find yourself weary because of circumstances that you can't control, which is most of them, or situations that you're responsible, and some of the things in my life, and let's just be honest here with one another, some things we're responsible for, right? Like, why does this happen to me? Well, you make bad choices. That's why that happens to you. You know, sometimes it has to do with the idols of my heart. Sin patterns in my life. And so some of those things, you know, I got to just take those to God and I got to own those. And then there's other things where it's like, well, that really wasn't my fault. I'm kind of like an innocent bystander here and this stuff splashed up on me. You know, I want to give you hope today. I want to give you hope for a better tomorrow, hope for true purpose, hope for a clean slate. Isn't that awesome? We could have a clean slate with God. Incredible. What a God of mercy. We could have hope. We could have peace. We could have rest. But it's found in a particular place. It's found in Jesus. Because when he's here, guess what? Hope is here. When Jesus is there, hope is there. Let me ask you this. You don't have to raise your hand on this one. Are you carrying a yoke that isn't meant for you? Jesus offers us a couple of steps and then this ongoing way of life. The first step, if you're carrying a yoke that wasn't meant for you, repent. Take it off. And even sometimes it's not a bad thing. You might not even necessarily have taken on a yoke that was sinful, but sometimes we need to say, you know what? I shouldn't have even taken this yoke on. And I'm going to take this yoke off. The only yoke I want to wear is yours, Jesus. What do you have for my life? What is the next step? I don't have to know 20 years down the road, or, you know, 2 days from the road. What is the next step today? So step two is take Jesus's yoke. We come to Jesus. And if you find yourself carrying that old yoke, because how many of you do that? You go, okay, yep, I'm with you, Don. Repent, turn from that. You take that yoke off, and then you go, I need this yoke, and you carry it, all right? Keep taking that on. That's the problem with living sacrifices. They can crawl off the altar. But Jesus tells us to present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And when we do that, he's very specific. He says, come to me. And he wants us to teach us. He wants to teach us something. How to walk in the rhythm of his grace. How do we live that out? How do we step by step walk in the same rhythms of Jesus and allow him to change our lives? Do you know that change begins on the inside? And eventually people, like months later, somebody say, something's different about you. What's going on? Oh, that's Jesus. Jesus is doing something in my life. But we need to go back to him. So sometimes we just believe truths about Jesus, like, yep, I believe Jesus died for my sins. Yep, I believe this. But we don't actually learn from him. We don't actually walk in those steps and learn. This is different than the world, right? To walk in grace, isn't that different than what the world tells you to do? And so we got to learn from him. And I want to remind us of something. Sometimes we want the life that Jesus offers without the lifestyle that Jesus offers. And so I need to go back to him and go, okay, what does it mean to live out this life? How did you live out this life? If you're the example, how do you do that? Now, there's one other thing that I think is interesting about Jesus' illustration about a yoke. Typically, it's not worn by one ox or mule, right? Typically, if you see that yoke, there's two. They're in tandem. They're working together. And the reason why the church is so important is that we find hope when we recognize we don't have to do life alone. Do you know that you weren't meant to do this alone? You know, sometimes. Used to drive me nuts because I'd listen to the pastors preach and they had like this picture. It's like me and Jesus on a motorcycle, you know, and that's cool. Maybe you have those motorcycle moments with Jesus. I'm not knocking that. But I think in general, it's more like a big giant bus where we come in together and we need one another. We're part of the body. We need to encourage one another. And sometimes we are the hands and feet of Jesus, right? And if the world is gonna feel that healing, they're gonna feel it through us. And you know, and sometimes we need to do that when we gather together and we recognize, hey, somebody's got a burden here, and how do we come together as a church or maybe as an individual? How do we aid that person? And our burdens, they come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. I could tell you, and you know this too, but as a pastor, it's like sometimes burdens are self-inflicted. Like, hey, you messed up, but we're going to come alongside you. We're going to do what Jesus did. We're going to enter into that mess, and it's not always fun. It's usually not. But we're going to enter that. Because as God's people, those who have experienced grace, those who have experienced hope, we want to offer hope. We want to offer forgiveness. We want to work with people. We want people to live a better story, right? That's what I want for me. That's what I want for us. And sometimes we have burdens that you go, man, I didn't ask for this sickness. I didn't ask to get fired from my job. I didn't ask, you know, for that company to shut down. I didn't ask for this diagnosis that, you know, through the doctor. And there we come and we share one another's burdens. And that could be all kinds of things. I've seen it here where, you know, we offer a car ride. We, you know, bring a meal. We help out in financial needs. And this last year, there were a couple events that we did that just thrilled my heart probably more than anything that we had previously done in the last like 4.5 years. And as I was looking back, I was thinking like in the middle of trials and heartbreaking stories going on, many of us began to ask the question, what can we do to make a difference? Like the world seems like it's spinning out of order, out of chaos, or into chaos and all this. How do we lift burdens of hurting people? And then we also came to this one conclusion. I remember a distinct conversation where we just said, you know what? We probably can't change the world, like in and of ourselves. And we started to say, what can we do to make intentional choices, to make a difference right here in our community? Just right here. And we had this kind of radical idea where we said, we can't change the world, but if everybody else did this, we could change the world. Like if we just started making a difference, you know, we find an area and we say, we're going to make a difference right here. And in these discussions, a couple ideas that came up. I don't know if you guys knew this. So last year we offered a free Bible and a reading book to every child in Wildwood 0 to 5 years old. And we did that, you know, we did a couple things. We like, let's get the Word of God in people's hands. And then we also looked and said, hey, if a child is read to before a certain age, it dramatically changes their life. They begin to dream. They begin to see things in a different way. And are we changing the world? I don't know, but maybe we change one person's life. And let's just do those things. The second event that we did this last year that just really thrilled my heart was the Christmas with Hope. Does anybody remember the Christmas with Hope? Okay, awesome. I'm glad because I loved that. And I loved it for so many reasons. The greatest reason that I loved it is I didn't come up with the idea. It is awesome when somebody says, hey, Pastor, I have an idea. What do you think? And I go, man, that's brilliant. I'm going to steal that idea from you. The second reason why I loved it so much is so many of you participated in that. I think that was like the biggest turnout we had as far as people participating. And some of you worked for days and some of you just worked all day when we had the event. But through that event, we were able to bless 200 kids. Over 200 kids with at least one Christmas gift in this area. And I thought in and of itself that was awesome. We had some great like door prizes. I mean, I was envious of the door prizes we were giving away, and we were able to bless families and individuals. And some of those families came, you know, told us stories. They're like, hey, we didn't know how this was going to happen and this was going to happen. And we're like, that's cool. We didn't either, but that God, you know, God did. And God works through that. And we provided lunch for everybody who came, and probably half of you ate those lunches for weeks ever because we kind of overdid it there. We were worship. It's awesome, right? I mean, it was like the fish and the loaves. It was like overflowing. And I'm like Christmas with Hope. This is what we're doing. We're supposed to offer hope to the people around us. And the church, within that, the church, we reminded ourselves, we reminded our community that there is hope in Jesus Christ. And so wherever there's a lack of hope in our community, that's where we're to pick up that burden. Because when Christians are here, guess what? Jesus is here. And when Jesus is here, hope is here. Let me just close with a couple questions. Are you weary today? Are you burdened? Are you burnt out? If you find yourself there, come to Jesus. Just come to Jesus and just say, okay, Jesus, here's my burden. Here's my yoke. Here's what I'm carrying today. And I don't know if you're a visual person, you're a physical. I mean, you could literally just like move your arms and say, I take that off today. I'm going to take that off. Here's the idols of my heart. Here's the things that are wearing me down. And I'm going to give those to you. Not that I'm ignoring them or whatever, but I'm going to place those in your hand, right? And then I'm going to take your yoke. I'm going to take your yoke on me. I'm going to place that on me. Because, you know, Jesus, I want your rest. I want you in my life. And whatever comes down that road, I'm going to face it with you, Jesus. I want you more than anything else in my life. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that in a broken, weary, tired, sinful world that you entered into our mess. You came to redeem, you came to restore, and you have given us hope. Father, I pray for anybody today that is struggling to find hope, that they would recognize that we have hope in Jesus Christ. And they would receive that hope, they would walk in that hope, they would be at peace, they would be at rest in what you are doing. And then, Father, I pray that this just wouldn't be something that we hold on to ourselves, but that we share with others, that we learn from you, where you looked at and you saw the broken, you saw the hurting, and you met those needs. And so, Father, as a people of hope, will we go out and meet that need in others? Father, have your way with us today. We pray all this in your Son's name. Amen.